Welcome back, Raw Thoughts listeners. My name is Mackenzie Tiggs, and I bring people on and just share their stories of whatever it looks like in their life. This week is going to be a little bit different. So it's just me. This is the first time that I get to share my story, and I'm just going to forewarn you, I'm probably going to start crying. It's very exciting. It's very nerve-wracking being the one that gets to like share why I'm doing this. Like, why am I bringing people on? Why am I asking strangers to tell their stories? And yet nobody has really heard mine yet. And it's not anything, you know, extravagant, but it's just like what makes me me. So I guess we will start back, you know, kind of how I grew up. I was born in Washington. I was raised in Idaho. My parents were divorced pretty young. And when I was growing up, my mom met my dad, who I call dad. He is actually my stepdad, but he is a phenomenal, phenomenal person. He recorded with me a couple episodes ago, so you can definitely hear more about who he is and what he's doing and why he's been so impactful in my life. So I grew up first responder kid. My mom was a 911 dispatcher. My dad was a paramedic. And all of my aunts and uncles, I always called them, you know, they weren't really my aunts and uncles, but they were all police officers. They would come and pick me up from the house. I would go do ride-alongs, and I would go for shooting days with them. And just being around a different perspective of what life was and what you were doing for others. In those situations, I don't think I've ever been a person that honestly likes the limelight. Somehow I'm really great at being able to talk in front of crowds. I'm really great at bringing a crowd together and kind of having the excitement and getting to really portray what I'm wanting to say, even though sometimes I don't think I'm that stellar at it. I get comments of it. So that's kind of how I grew up. When I was going through school, this is so hard just kind of interviewing myself and just putting it out there. So growing up, I played softball. I was, you know, competitive softball player. We traveled around, I think, ever since I was a little girl. Traveling has been a very important thing in my life. Going to different cities, going to different areas, it was always interesting to see how others are living their lives. And not having the idea that the way that I'm living is the only way that the world, that everybody else lives. And so it's intriguing to me, and I want to know more, and I want to dive more into it. Like, why are you living that way? Or how are you, you know, encompassed in your community because it's different than mine? And not judgmental, but it's just, I am curious. I just have a curious mind. I have a curious attitude into life and trying to see other people's perspectives. So I traveled, went to Alaska. I mean, we've gone all around, you know, kind of the states, Florida, Mexico, Haiti. I went to Haiti when I was 24 and did a medical mission. And it's very interesting just seeing how other people have lived their lives. So going through, you know, I graduated from high school. I thought that I was going to be a police officer. That's what I was around. That's what really, you know, inspired me. And went to CWI. That changed, and I thought maybe I wanted to go and be a counselor. I had gone, when I was a kid, into counseling due to some aspects of my my childhood and some things that I was going through with my biological dad. I was 13 going through the court system. Didn't want to be in his household. So there was a lot of just growing up that happened very fast, and was in counseling for that, in therapies for that. And so you know, I thought, like, if I've had this, maybe I can help others. And so this is so difficult. I'm so sorry. So college, you know, went to college. I ended up going through a program called CASA. So I would actually, it was a court-appointed assistant advocate. So I would go out to homes of foster children, and I would look, basically be the advocate for them when they would go into the court system to either have their parents take them back or if they were going to be going into foster care long-term. And I loved the, you know, it was super fun to go and play with the kids and just interact with them. But it was also really heartbreaking to go into these homes and the foster parents just never being able to catch a break. And the kids having, you know, medical issues that were not caused by themselves. Their parents were on drugs and, you know, lacked medications or treatments or prenatals, and being able to give the kid a healthy life. So I kind of reverted when I was going through college, and I was like, you know, I don't know if that's really what I want to do. So I was still going kind of the psychology route. I figured that that could also play into the part of, you know, being in police work. I had applied for a Citizens Academy at Nampa Police Department while I was going through college, and my mom worked there. And I was like, one of the reasons why is a couple of the officers were like, you know, this is a great program for people that want to come and work as police officers. They really hold that a high account of, like, high value on your resume. I was like, okay, well, I'll do that. So I went through the Nampa Citizens Academy, and they basically show you every realm within what it looks like. The fire department, the dispatchers, they go through, you know, EMS, basically like how you can learn more about our first responders and what it means to help protect our community. One of the first things that they went through was firefighters. And mind you, like, I had grown up in all of these things. One of my best friends, her dad was a firefighter. And so, you know, we would go say hi to him while he was on shift. They would get a call. We would hop in the fire truck. Like, we would go out to these calls. We would see these crazy crashes, like, from a very young age. It just intrigued me. And so we go through, you know, the aspects of the firefighting, and there was a training day. So you got to go out and basically do a firefighter training. So we did the stairs, we did the hose drags, we did jaws of life. And one of the lieutenants there was like, you know, I could really see you being a firefighter. And I was like, really? And I think all through my life, I'm not a person that's like, I've got strict goals. I'm goal planning. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. This is how I'm going to get there. I just honestly fly by the seat of my pants. And looking back, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast by myself is it's about my 30th birthday. October 7th is my 30th birthday. And so really just kind of reflecting backwards on what my life looks like, and also, like, why am I doing this podcast? So I had told the lieutenant, I was like, you know, if you think that I would be a good firefighter, like, I want you to put me through the training and through what you would do one of your own firefighters. He's like, okay. And so it was an amazing day. It was so much fun. I loved it. It was the adrenaline. It was repelling from the building. It was the excitement of, like, what's next? What's going to happen? Like, am I going to have to, you know, do CPR on somebody? Am I going to have to go in and break in to this door? Am I going to have to go and use the jaws of life on this car? Like, there was just so much in that day, and really got a light of what it would be like. I had told him, I was like, you know, that was really fun. I really enjoy it. I was continuing to go to the Citizens Academy. And I had just mentioned to him, like, if you hear of a CPR class, I would be really interested in just taking it. Mind you, I was still going to CDWI, full student. I was working at Harley Davidson. I was busy. Like, I had a full schedule. I was, you know, I was busy. Anyway, so he found a CPR class. It was like in 2 weeks. So I look into it. I get, you know, accepted into it. It was actually the CPR class into a EMT course. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. Well, lo and behold, I go to the CPR class and I know a few people in there. I know the instructor, and the instructor was like, you'd be such a great EMT. And I was like, really? And I'm like, well, it does intrigue me. Like, I do want to help people. There's obviously the psychology part of connecting with people and understanding people. Like, I could see myself doing this, but I'm also going to school full time. Like, how am I going to juggle all of these things? So I ended up doing the CPR class, looked into the EMT class, and I was like, I can't do it this semester. Like, I have so much. And the instructor was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be instructing it any longer. We don't know if TVCC is going to be having us any longer. Like, that is kind of a question mark if this program is going to continue to go. Like, if you don't get into it, I don't really know when the next one's going to be. It happened to also be the same nights and the same times that I was going through the Citizens Academy. So I had to figure out, do I continue and do this Citizens Academy trying to go into police work, or do I back out of that and get into EMT school? And I will be at, I think it was like 22 credits for that semester. Then it came into the play of, you can't be at two colleges at the same semester. So I was, like I said, I was going to CWI, getting my psychology degree, and the course was through TVCC. So I had to pay cash. I had to pay, you know, for the full two semesters ahead of time, and they wouldn't deem me an actual college student there because I had already paid for everything. So I go through EMT school. I absolutely love it. It's super intriguing to me. I was number two in our class. It seemed to come easy as well, and I really enjoyed it. And what was crazy is that my dad was a paramedic. Like, I never, when I was a kid, asked him what it was like. I never asked him. I never rode with him. We would stop at his stations, but if they got a call, it would be like, hey, you know, 68-year-old lady, have chest pains, like, we got to go. And they would take off, never hear really the rest of it. So he kind of questioned me a lot of, like, I didn't know you would be interested in this. I was like, I didn't really know that I was either. So I get done and, you know, the two semesters, I'm like, well, what am I going to do now? And Nampa Fire, Meridian Fire, and Boise Fire were all hiring at the same time. And he suggested, you know, he's like, go for it. Like, try it. See where you rank. See how well you're doing. And so I had did both of those fire tests. And what came back on both of them was I did not score terrible, but they wanted experience underneath the route. And that's how one way, obviously, I didn't have my paramedic license and I wasn't a veteran to get those extra points for the firefighting class. So they're like, well, you need experience. I was like, well, how am I going to get experience? Like, we don't have any really volunteer places around here. And he's like, why land firefighting? Like, it's super simple, you know, to get your courses done for you. You can be gone for the summers, just work through the summers, come back. If you want to continue, you know, getting your bachelor's, be a great way for you to do that. So I decided that I was going to, once I got my associate's in psychology, I got my EMT, I was going to apply and be a wildland firefighter. And my family knows that I don't like to tell them things until I'm already done because I don't know what I'm doing next. And so I applied. I had applied all in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. Got hired by the Twin Falls Fire District, or the Twin Falls BLM, and ended up moving to a in-house station. There was 14 of us that year in basically a fire bunker. And it was scary and it was strange. I mean, I was 22. That was the first time I had really moved away from my family. That was the first time I had really experienced something like that. And I still didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to live my life. Like, I'm just going to see where it goes. So I started that in May of 2014. It happened to be the year where the BLM was getting tested by the state and by the nation, basically the feds, for I don't even know what they actually tested for. Like, basically your yearly or your bi-yearly test. I don't even know what it was called. Anyways, they would run you through scenarios. They would tell, you know, ask you, especially for a rookie, like, where were your fittings? Where, if you get in a crash, where is your fire extinguisher? They would put you through scenarios. We'd have a mock fire. And I was an EMT at that point. And it seemed that every scenario that we went through, there was always an incident within an incident. So you have your fire, you have your fire that you're responding to or you're working on. And then there's another incident that happens within there, typically medical calls or, you know, if someone gets injured, that's going to be an incident within an incident. So that had ended up happening throughout the scenarios, and it really got me tested on, like, okay, like, I'm now responsible. Like, I have the education. I don't have the experience, but I have the education that if something happens, I'm the one that gets called. I'm the resource. So I had made these little cards that basically, you know, had your OPQRST on them, an acronym for EMTs. It had, like, patient's name, patient's weight, patient's date of birth, so that I could have it in my pack that I carried on me on fires, just in case there was an incident, that I could write everything down for, you know, later charting. It was just kind of a simple, easy way for me as a newbie to make sure I was checking all my boxes, to make sure I was asking all the right questions, that I didn't miss anything. It was really for myself to make sure that I was doing my best to help these people. Because at the end of the day, like, they were going to be the firefighters on the fires that I was also on. Like, that's your brother and sister is that you're going to have to respond to. So it was our first fire. And we get called out. It was the middle of June, and so it was kind of a late fire season for us. We were a little bit bummed. We were the second crew out of the fire station that day, so we had to make sure everything was locked up, had to shut the gate, and was heading down the road. And this is 23 miles north of Burley. So talk about the middle of nowhere. It's the middle of nowhere. Driving down the road, we see our other fire truck in front of us kind of swerve. There was a truck and trailer to the right hand pulled off. And by the time we get up there, this lady is in the middle of the street. She's flagging us down. And we're like, you know, oh my gosh, the comments happened, right? Like, oh, her tire is probably on fire. Like, what does she need from us? We can see the fire plume. Like, we're headed to where the fire is going. Like, I'm like, all of us are so excited. It's our first fire as a crew. And so we get pulled over. We talk with this lady. She's like, a helicopter has just crashed. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, looking at my three guys that I work with, I'm like, what do you, like, where? Like, where is this helicopter that crashed? She points over. She was right in a location where there was no cell phone service, and so she knew that we had radios. So ended up going, me and one of my other fellow guys went out. We started doing medical support. There was three individuals. They all did end up surviving. They just, the situation that I was in, if they would have been any more south of where they landed, they would have been in the street. Any more north, they would have been in the lava rocks and no one would have seen them. If they were any more to the west, they were basically, no crews would have been able to get out. It was too wet. or I guess very difficult for us to get out there and be able to treat, get the helicopter landed, ambulances out there. And then any more east, they would have been on hay bales. So like right where they landed was an incredible place. It was crazy walking up to that. But I knew, you know, I had a job to do. And so me and my crew members, we had used those exact cards that I had made and, you know, patient's name, patient's weight. We had everything. I was able to, me and my partner were able to treat the patients. We're able to get their information, hand it off to one of our other crew members. He then would relay it to our captain. He was our IC for the scenario or for the incident. What was also crazy is that there was a helicopter going to our fire. And so the first concern was, is it our hell attack? And it was not. It was three members that were going to St. Anthony's. They were going to do an aerial videography. And so what had actually saved them was there was a dome on the underside of the helicopter. And so when it had crashed, the field was so wet that it basically got stuck into the field and then rolled. It didn't roll over on top of itself. It just kind of slid over. So where the pilot normally, if you're looking at the helicopter, the pilot's normally on the left-hand side. Well, he had gone and shifted to the right-hand side. So we get done with that. We go to the fire, check in with everybody. We did not work the fire for safety reasons. Go back, kind of decompressed as a crew. And I remember I got back and I just started bawling when I called my parents. And I was like, you'll never believe, like, what? Like, how is this my luck? You know, like my first call as an EMT as a helicopter crash. And I remember thinking, like, I want to know more. Like, why did this happen? What was going on for this to be, you know, for this to be caused? The gentleman had a TBI, and so he was relapsing about every minute and a half. And I just wanted to know, like, how more could I help? How more could I understand what was actually happening? And that was really what sparked me into becoming a paramedic. And just that curiosity of like, I want to know more. I want to gain more knowledge. I want to gain more information. It was very overwhelming, that being my first call, because I was like, holy shit. Like, what did I get myself into? I remember telling my dad that, like, Dad, is this what every call's like? And he's like, you'll get more confident. You know, he's like, even after, you know, how many years I've been in being a first, like being a paramedic, he's like, I've never even gone to a helicopter crash. Like, that's insane that that's your first one. So through the years, I continued to work as a wildland firefighter. I stayed in the Twin Falls area. I felt like I wasn't ready to come home yet. And I got into CSI's paramedic program the first try. It was phenomenal. I loved my class. It was so much fun. I got to travel down to Louisiana, where I spent 8 weeks, and for an externship. So CSI normally does an externship to broaden the horizons of just paramedicine. So some of the things that we see here in Idaho, they don't see, you know, there. Same thing, vice versa. And so it was a busy system. It was a critical system. And you were just running nonstop. So the amount of experience that you could get in a short amount of time there would have been, you know, years here. And it just was exhilarating. Like, it was so much fun. I couldn't wait to, like, come back. That's what I wanted to do. I'd applied for a couple places. Just seemed like it wasn't right. And so I ended up, because I had been on wildfires, I had already known the system. I had known what needs to happen. I was a paramedic for the fires. So I traveled around. It was 108 days that summer that I was on fires for. And I just, me and my partner basically traveled from Idaho down to Arizona, and we basically hopped all of the states back up into Montana, and then we came back to Idaho through the summer. And some really big fires. I am not a person that remembers names, so I couldn't even tell you like what fires. I could show you on a map, but I honestly don't remember the fire names. So that's kind of, you know, where my paramedic experience grew. And I decided to apply again for a different county and got it while I was away on fire. So came back, I worked, I had a job. I was like, all right, I'm getting a little bit older, you know, getting a little more secure. Like, this is my career. This is what I'm going to be doing. I'd done so many things prior. I mean, worked at Harley for 4 years. Like, I like bouncing around. Like, it's so much fun to me to just, like, why have one career? So that ended up happening. I got the job. And then we worked 48 hours. And so I had 5 days off. Like, that was a lot of time off. I didn't have a boyfriend. I had my golden retriever. Obviously, no kids. Single. Still single and no kids. No dog now, but that's me. And so ended up doing that. And I was like, what am I going to do for 5 days off? So I decided to go back to school and finish my bachelor's degree. Got my bachelor's in psychology. And that's where a lot of my mental health awareness comes from, is learning that, understanding that, seeing how our brain changes, seeing how mechanically and physically things can change our bodies through experiences, through traumas. And so that's really kind of where the strive for me has come from, is just trying to understand, like, what is somebody else going through, or what are they seeing? And having that perspective of, why is my life any better? Like, why am I any better than them to not care? Why am I any better that I can't relate to them? And I really understood that when I was a paramedic and I would get called from our officers for situations that they needed somebody to kind of de-escalate people, to connect with people, to talk. I mean, even if they weren't going through a medical situation, there's just something I could talk to these people. And I don't think I still understand how I can do it, especially in the podcast. I have no idea. I wish I really did, because I do get a lot of people asking about the podcast and saying, like, well, how do you come up with these questions, and where do you get these ideas from? And I'm like, I wish I knew, or I would teach it to people. Like, I don't know. I just do it. Like, it's a gift. It's a skill that was, like, given to me. So I finished my psychology degree from BSU. Was working paramedic. Like, that was the gig. That was the life. That was who I was. I loved it. It was so much fun. And it was hard. It was fun. And we ended up having a change of kind of who paid us. Going from a hospital base to then back to the county took a giant pay cut. It was not fun. The culture changed in our department, in our county. And it was something that I realized that I didn't want to be around. The negativity, it just wasn't what I wanted. And I'm one of those people, and if I could teach people this, is if you don't like something, change it. If you don't like where you're at, change it. Like, change your surroundings. Change who you're being, you know, who you're spending your time with. Who are you being consumed by? Like, if it's not good for you, change it. And that's what I did. And I had gone into real estate in the beginning knowing that I was going to take a pay cut. And so I was like, well, now I'm graduated. I have 5 days off. Like, that's kind of like a full-time job still. I love people. I used to work for a painter when I was going through paramedic school. I understand new construction. Like, this makes sense to get into it. Our market obviously was climbing at that time as well. And so I made the jump. I got my real estate license. That was also right when COVID happened. There was just a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of things that I honestly won't go into of just, you know, what that looked like for being a paramedic. And I had just realized that the environment that I was around was not one I wanted to be in. And so I quit my job. I jumped into real estate full time and ended up getting onto a team pretty soon after that. Started as a showing agent. So basically what I did was I worked next to an agent. She was going to be going on maternity leave. And so any homes that she was going to be showing clients, I basically showed them for, prepared their showings, their documents that they needed. I would, you know, write the offers for them. She would basically shadow me with that. It was also another way to get experience super fast. You know, the amount of contracts that we were writing, the amount of people that we were talking with, and the just the consistency of it. And that, I was supposed to be a showing agent for a year, and I upped my contract to 9 months. So I renewed it 3 months early, went into a buyer's agent's role. And that started last fall. I was also in a relationship that was not going good. So I had been with him for just a little over 3 years, I think it was. And it was a toxic relationship. I had gotten cheated on multiple times. I stuck around because I knew his trauma and I understood his trauma. And I wanted to be able to help him. As a support system, I knew I couldn't change him, but I knew I could help getting him resources. And that's what I did for our first responders. And that's what I continued to do with people that have, you know, these experiences, especially with being a military veteran. And, it just did not end up working out in the end. It was a realization for me and for, you know, any women that are listening, like, you can't change someone, and if they don't want to change themselves, then you have to. So I had ended up leaving him, and it was a struggle. It was still hard. I think especially, I think being a single woman, you know, like turning 30, like, what does that look like? Why don't I have a boyfriend? Like, why don't I have kids? Like, all of these things. And then I look back and I'm like, well, holy shit. Like, look at all the things you've done before you were 30. And as much as I'm super excited to be turning 30, it's still one of those, I think it's like now I'm kind of getting older. Now my kind of biological, you know, is kind of ticking. And it's like, am I going to fight the right guy? Like, am I going to do these things? And so when I was going through that, he had actually sent me, I had always thought about doing a podcast. But I was like, what am I going to talk about? Like, I don't want to be the person that's talking. I don't want to, what do I have to share? But I knew that I could always connect with other people. And I knew that people always felt comfortable with me, and they always, you know, when you're at a grocery store, you're in an elevator, and like people would just like open up their whole life story and just like spill it to me. I'm like, do I have a sign on my forehead? Like just tell me your life. I have no idea. And obviously I don't, but they still do. So it was kind of one of those discussions of, like, I want to start a podcast. Like, I don't know exactly what I want to do. I don't know who I want to talk with, but this is what I want to do. I'll figure it out. So we had taken a family trip to Mexico. We really try to have experiences more than like tangible gifts. So I had taken this trip. It was really kind of at the end of after leaving him. I had moved out. I was kind of, you know, we were still in communication, but what that looked like, we weren't sure. I wasn't sure. And when we were there in Mexico, our family really just bonded. And it was kind of one of those questions of like, what do you need help with? Like, what do you want out of your life? Like, how can we support you as a family? We all kind of had these discussions continuously. There was a gentleman that every morning we would go to breakfast and he's like, mimosa, Bloody Mary, like, why not? Like, you can have it all. And we'd have our Bloody Mary, we'd have our mimosa, we'd have our coffee and our water, and don't forget the orange juice too. And it just was kind of a realization of like, why not? Like, why aren't we doing these things? Like, so many companies, so many places, so many, you know, people are like, well, what's your why? Like, why are you doing this? Is it for your kids? Are you doing it for, you know, the money? Are you doing it for, like, why? What makes you get up in the morning? And I'm like, well, honestly, none of those things. I don't have a why. But I have a why not. Like, why not do that? Like, why not start a podcast? And so that was my kind of spark for the trip. We were in the cabana and I had been really sick, and we were all kind of asking each other like what we wanted to do. And I remember rolling over to my family and I'm like, I want to start a podcast. And they're like, you should be so good at it. You can always talk, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and I'm going to call it Raw Thoughts. I had already came up with the name. It was actually a song that he had sent me while we were breaking up. Don't even remember what the song was about. I just remember that that was the title. Not the title, but the artist was called Raw Thoughts. And I was like, you know what? Like, that's really catchy. Like, how about I just bring people on and we talk about their lives? Like, how simple is that? And so I came home from that trip in Mexico and I came to this studio and I got everything prepared and I saw it. And then the following week I was recording my first episode and I was like, well, how am I going to find more people? And just through time, I was able to just talk with people that I knew and just shared my vision with them. And I was like, my vision is to have people come on and we just talk about their lives, whatever they want to talk about, whatever they want to showcase, whatever they want to kind of portray to the world. And I'm very, very, very happy that this is my 33rd podcast. Like I've said before in my episodes, I don't think I've done anything in my life for 33 weeks in a row. And now I'm turning 30. Like, this is kind of insane to see the growth, to see, you know, another reason why I wanted to record this was because I think, you know, I journal and I look at things, but reflecting is so important. And as though I do not listen or watch my podcasts, I have enough people that do and they kind of tell me, you know, oh, you're getting better at this and things are sounding good and you're not saying as much. Yes, Dad, I do still say and I know you're going to critique me on that in this episode and how many times I've stopped, but that's all right. And so I wanted to, you know, I see the growth in this. I see the amount of people that are reaching out to me. I see the impact that it's making on people. And at some time, maybe, you know, next year I want to reflect and be like, oh, that's what I sounded like. That's what I said. That's what was happening in my life. Or, you know, sometimes we forget what we're going through. And I just want this to be a reminder. I just want this to be out in the world. And, you know, why not start a podcast? Or why not do what you want to do? And why not go and dream. You know, we talk about like, oh, let's, you know, dream and make these goals and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, just go fucking do it. Like, don't talk about it. Just do it. Just like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then guess what? Change. Like, it seems pretty simple. It's hard. It's not fun. Like, this podcast definitely has taken a lot of, you know, time and effort and long hours and days and, you know, stress of like, who is going to be my next guest and where am I going to find them and what are they going to talk about and are people going to like it? But I think I've gotten over that of it'll happen. It'll be okay. It will happen just the way that it needs to happen. And if it doesn't happen the way that I want it to, then that's not the way that it needed to. So through all of this podcasting and sharing people's stories, I just wanted you guys to hear a little bit more about me. And I would still love to find somebody to kind of interview me in the style that I interview other people, because I think I do still have a lot to say and a lot of things that have happened in my life and why I am the way that I am. But it's hard to just kind of come up with that in my brain and check the time and make sure I'm doing things okay. And, you know, I had told my studio guy when I was getting in here, I was like, this is the most nervous I've been out of any of my episodes. And he's like, why? You're great. I'm like, yeah, but it's my time to talk now. And I don't like to be in the spotlight. Like, I don't like to have the attention on me. Like, I want to help other people bring their voices and their ideas and their, you know, goals and aspirations. Like, I want to be able to help them. Like, I want to be able to connect them with who they need to. Like, I want to be able to create a community where people can reach out to me and say, hey, do you know somebody for this? Or, you know, how do I do that? And I'm the person that they can come to. And I think especially within real estate, that's what I'm getting shown, is it's not about the sell of the house or helping them buy the house. It's the aftermath. It's following up with them. It's connecting with them. It's being a friend with them. And when they say, hey, can you come to my house and help me? Like, what wall color should I do? Well, I have the privilege that I get to walk through a lot of homes and I get to hear a lot of people say, I like this or I don't like that. And so you take that information, you gather that information, and then that helps with your decisions. And I think that's exactly what this podcast is, sharing people's stories of, we're not all perfect. We're humans. Shit happens. Like, how did you navigate it? How did you get through it? How did you get unstuck from that really hard situation? How did you cross over and decide that that's what your decision was going to be, to be on something? And I just want to thank everybody that has listened this far. This will probably be the worst episode that I've produced, but that's all right. This is the fun part of getting to be your own boss of your podcast, is that you get to do what you want to do. So I decided today, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a surprise show for my 30th birthday. I'm also insane. By the time that this gets produced, I will have hopefully completed rim to rim of the Grand Canyon, because I'm not sure why I thought that it would be a super fun idea. I mean, it is a really fun idea to start at one side of the Grand Canyon and hike down to the bottom of it and hike up to the top of it on the other side in one day. So definitely, if you're listening to this podcast, follow up on my Instagram and see how it was. Definitely be recording it, videoing it, taking little blurbs of the stuff that me and my sister and her girlfriend are going to be saying on that long, excruciating hike. But other than that, I just really want to thank everybody that has helped me with this podcast so far, in, you know, how I've been able to sponsor the Columbia High School football team and how I've been able to sponsor the teen suicide prevention and sponsoring the golf tournaments, sponsoring the, you know, Canyon County Sheriff's Office cornhole tournament. So much of my love and my drive are my first responders and the people that I connect with and how I connect with them and the things that you see and how you deal with it and kind of get through it. And I think this podcast is really kind of one of my healing powers, being able to talk with other people, understand how they're getting through it, and kind of having the light be shown on that to others that you're not alone. There's people out there to support you. There's people out there that have gone through very similar situations. It sucks to reach out to people. It's hard to reach out to people, but also in the end, it really makes a difference, and it can make a difference for you. So thank you for listening to this episode. I apologize in advance of how many times that I've said, that I've not looked at the camera, that I've said and or stopped or paused, or I'm going to, you know, be off of topic, or who knows? I don't know why I'm caring, but that's just my blurb to you guys. So thank you for listening. I appreciate it. I do hope that everybody has a blessed week. Like I said, my birthday is October 7th. As much as I don't like it to be attention, I'll still let you know. I'll be turning 30, and we'll see what happens on the other side. Thank you again for listening to another episode as I share my story, a little bit more about who I am, why I started the podcast, and where it's going. I really hope that this podcast can get bigger, that we can reach more people. More people are listening. More people are coming on, just getting a broader aspect to what our communities look like and what individuals in the world have to say. So definitely head over to Apple Podcast. Leave the podcast a review. I would absolutely love that. If you could also head over to my Instagram of rawthoughts.podcast. And I would love for you to share where and how you listen to this podcast. If it's on YouTube, if it is on Spotify or Apple Podcast, if it's in your car, if it's while you're cleaning the house. I just want to know, how are you listening to this? And when are you listening to this? So head over, tag me, send me a message if you would like to come onto the podcast. And other than that, I will see you next week for another episode. And I promise you it'll be better than this one. Have a good day, guys. Bye. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review, as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast, and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.